Happy New Year. It's hard to believe that we are celebrating 2023. And you know, sometimes it's good to look back a little bit, but really what we want to do today is look forward. And wherever you're spending this service, I want to thank you for joining us. You know, as a gift to your family, from our body of believers and our staff, we wanted you to just kind of stay home. Now, that doesn't mean it's a gift to stay away from fellowship. That would be contrary to everything that we preach here. But it is a gift to stay in your pajamas, right? And just hang around, watch a little football. And I'm hoping that wherever you're watching this from, maybe you have some family, maybe even some friends joining you. And I want to explain something. As you look at the title, and you can always go to our website. Hopefully you'll do that. And right at our website, you can have live stream, and it's all interactive. So download the outline and follow along. I'd love for you to fill in these very important points that we look at. But don't be mistaken. This is not a popcorn, cotton candy, chicken soup for the soul Christian message. When you see that it says having the best year ever, it's really not about some power of positive thinking. As a matter of fact, what is in store for us in this new year is really something that only God knows. And for us, you know, in our family, the new year is always followed by birthdays. We have a number of birthdays in January and February, and we love getting together. It's always a challenge getting 14 of us together, but we do it. We make it happen. And I love celebrating the members of our family in their birthdays. And of course, when you've just come out of Christmas, that means a little more debt, right? A few more credit cards being run up. But one of the cool parts about the birthdays in our family is getting a chance to listen to the fathers or the mothers pray for their children or pray for their family member. You know, I love hearing them say things like, God, we're just inviting you to take control of this family member this year and this family. Lord, we want you to be honored and to be glorified in their lives. God, we thank you for the gift they are to us. Yeah, I remember one year my dad prayed, and he said something that really was powerful. He said, God, help my babies do your will. And you know, that is the prayer of all of us as grandparents, as parents, I hope, is that we really learn to discern God's voice and the move of his spirit in our lives. And that's what I want for you this year. You know, sometimes it's kind of that old adage of the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. I know it's a cartoon, it's not really theologically accurate, but it's true that we're battling every day with the flesh and really the world and the devil. That's the devil on your shoulder. And then God speaking in your life and the Spirit of God. And I'm just assuming that you know Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're watching this and you're not quite sure what you think about Scripture, about eternity, about the future. I will tell you that by the end of this message, you'll have a clear understanding. You know, there's a lot of phrases that are used, though. And I really feel like people are duped a little bit. You know, it bothers me sometimes when I look at Facebook posts, and I'm going to be really gentle in the way I say this, but a lot of times, ladies, I see it from you. Maybe it's just because women are on social media more than men, but I see things like, listen to your inner person, trust your heart, listen to the lion inside of you, do what you think is best. That's actually not good theology. That is not going to give you your best year. I can promise you that. You know, listening to your heart, you know what Scripture says about that? Our heart is wicked, desperately wicked, above all things. My goal for you and our goal for you this New Year's is to follow the Spirit of God, to do what God wants for you. And I'm glad you're hearing this message. Some of you are new Christians and some of you are old Christians. All of us need to pay close attention because the truth is, as I pray right now, I'm asking God to speak to each and every one of you the way he's spoken to me in preparation for this message. So could we pray right now? Let me just pray for you wherever you're at. Father God, thank you for the privilege of knowing you through the person and work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for providing the ultimate sacrifice as Jesus died for our sins 2,000 years ago and rose again. And God, thank you for giving to us salvation simply by believing that he did that for us. Father, I pray right now that all distractions would be put aside. I pray that anything that would take our minds off of what your word has to say would be limited. And God, I ask that you would speak into our hearts and minds wherever we may be in the world today so that we could truly have the best year ever. And may that be defined by you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm going to talk about one verse. We're going to look at many verses, but I want to talk to you about one verse specifically. And it's in John 10, verse 10. If you take a look at this, it's very important for us to understand it. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, my purpose is to give them, and I want you to circle two words, a rich and satisfying life. If you have your Bible, circle that in there. If you have the outline, you know, you can print it and you can circle it later. But I want you to just stop right now and think about this. Think about your friends. Think about your family. Think about your coworkers and classmates. Would you say that they are living a satisfying and rich life? For most of us, I would say that that has been stolen by the thief who steals, kills, and destroys. You know, I think about our Altitude students and now our Christian school students and faculty. Our hopes, your hopes have been stolen. Our youth today, your innocence has been stolen. It's been robbed from you. For some of you men, your job and your vision has been stolen. Your kids have been stolen. Your family has been stolen. For many of the women, your heart has been stolen. Your relationships have been stolen. Your dreams have been stolen. And for all of us listening, I want you to know something. God is not the thief. Satan is. And God wants us to know something. Satan will desperately try to steal your joy this year. As 2022 ends, can't believe I'm even saying that. Just ask that question right there on your outline. Is my life rich and satisfying? You know, that word in the Greek is a word, and I'll just pronounce it in English, parousos. And it literally means superabundant, overflowing, fulfilling, beyond description. That's what it means. And for many of you, you may not even believe in God. And for others, you don't believe in the devil. The truth is, I would venture to say that most Christians don't really believe in a literal devil. That saddens me. You know, if you believe in God, you truly believe that he exists, then you have the ultimate hope for a rich and satisfying life. God wants to influence you towards salvation, but Satan wants to influence you towards destruction. And how sad is it when people who teach the Bible don't really believe what it says? I attended four different universities, three of them online. The last one was the University of North Carolina. I took a religious studies course from, but in one of my Christian universities, we started a class on theology, and the professor literally started the class by saying, listen, I know most of you have been raised in a traditional Christian home, but there is no literal devil. And I was online with a little light, you know, on my computer, and I could ask a question. He's like, yeah, Rick. I said, that's not true. He's like, yes, it is. I said, no, Jesus said there's a devil. I'm going to trust him over you. Well, I ended up getting a C in that class, which is okay because C stands for Christ, right? So it was all right. I was good with that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, even Christians don't believe that. You know, why really isn't my life super abundant? Why isn't our life joyful and satisfying? Well, it's because we have a real enemy. And when you think about that, our real enemy is someone we need to be aware of. I don't mean to focus on, I mean to understand. He wants to destroy this year. His name is Satan. Married people, Satan is not your spouse. Parents, Satan is not your children. I mean, maybe a day or two, right? No, I'm kidding. He's not your boss either. Satan is real. And you know, it has been 20 years since I taught my oldest child to drive. And I had the privilege of teaching all four of my children to drive. Shelly and I shared that responsibility, of course. And I can still remember the feeling of letting them get behind the wheel. It's a tough thing, number one, because they've never driven before. You can write all kinds of test answers down, and you can get book knowledge, but until you get behind that car, you really don't have any experience. And number two, because they don't always listen. And let me tell you why it's hard for me as a pastor. Because there's really not a street, not a major street in this city that I haven't done a funeral for someone who's died on it. And so I think about that a lot. And I thought about it a lot when my kids started driving. Man, today, your kids can be texting and they can die. They have a choice between texting and dying. You know, and when I think about that, it just reminds me that it's important for your children when you're teaching them to drive to hear your voice, to listen to you. Because the enemy is out there and he's driving rapidly and he's driving intentionally to come at you. So let me share this with you. In order to have the best year ever, first we have five realities we need to understand based on our enemy. First, Satan is a personal enemy. He's personal. I have a personal enemy, you have a personal enemy, and I want you to write that down. That's why I'm sharing it again. You know what happens when you have children and they've just learned to drive? They suddenly start evaluating your driving. Yeah, oh, Dad, nice job. That was a California stop. Well, really? Well, this is a California pop. You know, anyways. But I mean, they start to say everything you're doing wrong. You know, all of a sudden they're professionals. And can we all admit there is a difference between how we drive and how we should drive? Well, the truth is, in our spiritual lives, there's a difference between knowing what's right and doing what's right. And that comes down to who we listen to. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now, think of this. Jesus is called in the scriptures the Lion of Judah. But Satan is called a lion because he's the great imitator. The Bible says he is an angel of light. He is perceived to be good. Satan does his best work in churches. He does his best work in places where good is supposed to be supreme. You know, when I think about this, I'm worried about each of us. Because Satan has a car. Theoretically, he's coming right at you. He's barreling 100 miles an hour right at you. And he prowls around like a roaring lion. You know, I think about that. Just over a month ago, there was a lunatic that plowed into 75 cadets, police officers. Plowed right into them, doing, I think, 65, 70 miles an hour. And I mean, this crazy, hateful person destroyed countless lives. He succeeded in destroying lives. That's what he wanted to do. And that's what Satan is doing. He's barreling right at you. But I want you to go back. Let's go back to the lion illustration. Let's connect the two. You ever watched Animal Planet? You know, these crazy animal shows? I love them. You watch a lion kind of stalking its prey, and that lion, you know, is hunting. And who are they hunting? The young, the old, and the weak. The lion is literally looking for people who are not prepared for him. I showed a video to the executive team the other day of a lion in the Serengeti, two guys in a Jeep, no top, and it looked like a yellow bullet shooting through the weeds, through the barley, literally, and it hit a gazelle and took it out. And I'm like, look how quick that happened. That's how quick Satan comes at us. And the same story that we're looking at in John 10 is in Luke 22. And Jesus talks to Peter and he says this. And by the way, his name was Simon Peter. He says this, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. Now, here's a real deep theological reality that I've shared during the preaching of the book of Job this past summer. Satan still has access to the throne of God. He has not been completely cast out. And he goes before the throne of God and he accuses us and he wants to sift us. What is Satan's plan for your family this year? We often wonder, well, what's God's plan for our family? We might want to give a little consideration about what Satan's plan is for our family. You can't be ready for the new year if you're not aware of your enemy. His plan is to steal, kill, and destroy it. Sadly, Satan gets his way more than he should in our lives. What does that mean? You know, I don't in any way claim to be a farmer, but I did grow up in a family of farmers, and I had the privilege of spending summers with these farmers and ranchers. And I was with my Aunt Marcy one summer. She has over 300 acres, or had over 300 acres in Coffeyville, Kansas. And I remember literally asking this question. I've been in a Christian school, and I heard the sifting analogy, and I said, what is sifting? And she grabbed a piece of wheat, and she picked it up, and she said, you see that protective shell on the outside? Inside is a valuable seed. And she began to do this with the wheat. And all of a sudden, she opened her hand, and there was the seed. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to sift you so he can get to the valuable part of who you are and destroy it. Listen to me, friends. If you're married, here's what Satan's doing. He's sifting you. He wants to get you through pornography, an extramarital relationship, or fantasy. And in your life, that fantasy is never going to be a reality. Listen, teenagers, Satan wants to sift you, saying things like, your parents don't know what they're talking about. Your pastor, your youth pastor doesn't know what she's talking about. What a lie. He wants to sift you and pull you away from the protective shell God has given you. And that's why our Christian school that we have now taken the leadership of is so important. We're going to shape the minds of countless high school students so that Satan can't sift their lives in the university they're headed for, or the job, or the world they're in, and destroy them before they ever get started. So first, we must understand Satan is a personal enemy. Second, Satan is personal, but he's not physical. He's not physical. Some of you think your enemy is your spouse or your ex. Some of you think your enemy is your boss or your neighbor that you don't like, or your coach or your teacher. It's none of them. Satan is personal, but he's not physical. He may be using somebody that's physical. He may be putting someone right in front of you, or at least affecting someone that's right in front of you. But he's not in front of you. Jesus knew this when he was crucified. Think about this. While Jesus hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Forgive the ones crucifying me. Forgive the ones who are whipping me. Forgive the ones who are gambling for my cloak. Forgive those who make racist comments. Forgive those who have insulted and beat me. Why did he say that? He said, because they don't know what they're doing. They're just pawns in the hand of the enemy. Look at Ephesians 6:12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So stop hating people and start hating your enemy. You need to stop hating people and start heeding the word of God. And realize that Satan is real. But understand this, even though I'm sharing this, that we're in a spiritual war, Satan is real, but Satan's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at once. Satan's not omnipotent. He doesn't know everything, but he knows a lot. Satan's not immutable. He changes with the wind, whatever it takes. And we need to recognize this. The Bible makes it clear that we are supposed to wake up and literally say, this is the day the Lord has made. Look at Psalm 118, 24. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You know what? You know what saddens me? What saddens me is that we have that command, and we usually wake up going, oh, I'm still alive. It's another day. Got to go to work. Got to do this. And you know what's really sad about our culture today? Nothing impresses us these days. Think about it. We have this incredible technology. I mean, we have a phone that literally does everything, and it communicates with a satellite in space, and it gets back to us in a millisecond. What about an airplane? I mean, I've flown literally a couple million miles in my lifetime. Airplane's amazing, but you know what? You go to the airport, we travel here and there, and you go to the airport, and somebody gets off a plane, and you're picking them up. Hey, how was your flight? Oh, it's all right. It's kind of bumpy. But, you know, we're here. Snack on the plane was terrible. I'm like, dude, you just got off a rocket made of metal, and you traveled 1,600 miles in 2 hours. It is amazing. But nothing impresses us. We stopped being impressed by things a long time ago. We're so saturated with incredible stuff, nothing impresses us. And do you know what that affects most of all? How we see God. We stop being impressed by God's creation. And who's God's greatest creation? People. People being the most valuable. You know what we average in this church? We average 25 people being saved every weekend. We've baptized over 10,000 people in our 33 and a half year existence. And most people are like, oh, that's great. What'd you do last weekend? You know, we've seen the extraordinary amount of finances given for this. I believe we're going to hit our goal of $20 million. I believe it in faith. And you know what? We're seeing that. Literally the first weekend, $2 million committed and given. Unbelievable. You know, all the life change that's happening in this ministry. And Satan's just like, oh, just yawn at that. It happens everywhere. It doesn't. And Satan is personally attacking us with this thought. What have you done for me lately, God? You know, I went to a Bronco game a couple years ago. I don't get to go to Bronco games very often. Had a friend give me great seats, club seats. You know, I'm sitting in the front row. It's the top of the first row, 50-yard line. They take the glass out like you're in the stadium, but you're actually in a box. And there's these three teenage girls in front of me. Literally had no clue there was a football game going on the entire time. I'm like being bothered by them because they're just taking selfies. And I kept getting in their selfies, you know, like this, because I'm like, there's a football game. And it was a good football game. They had no clue. This is how we live. We live clueless to the attacks of the enemy. Satan is personal, but he's not physical. Third, Satan wants to steal my joy. It's what he wants to do. I would challenge you to go look up these verses later, but nothing in our lives is great anymore because Satan has stolen our joy. We're always trying to improve things, make them simpler. New and improved sweetener. I didn't know sugar needed improved. You know, think about this. That's why most of us struggle in our marriages, because we see all these harlequin romance, that's old school, but, you know, Lifetime films, movies that present this perfect romance, and we get frustrated, or we see these relationships that are not real, and that's why our kids' joy has been stolen. That's why you're frustrated at work, because you think it's supposed to be a certain way. Your joy has been stolen. When he steals our joy, then guess what happens? We're no longer producing the fruits of the Spirit. We're no longer living Spirit-filled lives. Look at Galatians 5:22. What's it look like? But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Here it is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. When I'm not loving, the Holy Spirit's not controlling me. When I'm not joyful, the Holy Spirit is not controlling me. When I'm not peaceful, the Holy Spirit is not controlling me. When I'm not patient, the Holy Spirit is not controlling me. When I'm not kind, the Holy Spirit is not controlling me. When I'm not good, the Holy Spirit is not controlling me. When I'm not faithful, the Holy Spirit is not controlling me. Ouch! You don't need more religion. You need more of the Holy Spirit. I don't need more religion. I need more of the Holy Spirit taking control of my life. And this list is in deep contrast to the list in that same passage. And I'm no prophet, but I can prophesy this. Look at Galatians 5. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Oof. Wow, Pastor Rick, I thought you were going to give us a feel-good message for 2023. I mean, you just got rid of my plans. No, God did. My friends, it doesn't get any clearer than this. Just look into your conversations about a family member. If you think that Satan hasn't corrupted your thinking, we give up all hope. You say things like, "Eh, my husband will never change. Oh, my wife's never going to change. My kids aren't the kids I was hoping to raise. I'll never get promoted in that job." Your hope has been killed. Listen to me. We worship a God of hope. We worship a God of restoration. We worship a God of healing. Yes, Satan's real, but God is sovereign. Satan wants to steal your joy. Number four, Satan steals our joy and then robs us of hope. Think about this. Hope is not the conviction that something will turn out well, but the certainty that something makes sense regardless of how it turns out. Vaclav Havel said that, and I love it. You know, I'm talking about the guaranteed hope of God. Not the, "Oh, I hope I win the lottery. I hope she marries me or falls in love with me. I hope he falls in love." No, it's the ultimate hope that God promises the assurance of salvation for those who trust in him. We don't hope like pagans. We worship a God who died and rose again and conquered the grave. Listen, Jesus did not just save us for fire insurance. He saved us to put his spirit in us, to give us victory, to give us triumphant living. Satan is the contrast to this. Look at 1 John 3:8. "But the one who indulges in sinful life is the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil." The reason Jesus came was to reveal the enemy and undo the works of the devil, the very being that most of you don't believe in, Satan, the very enemy that culture has deceived you into believing is a fictional character. Less than 40% of evangelical Christians believe Satan is a real being. Listen, I didn't bring this message to you to cause you more stress. I brought it to bring you more hope, because the enemy has no power over you, Christian, except the power you give him. Look at 2 Peter 1:3. "Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by his name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness." We know the God who saves. We know the God who delivers. We know the God who heals. We know the God of miracles. We know the God who gives everybody a fresh start the moment they believe and confess that they are sinners saved by grace. I don't know what healing you need. I don't know what hope you need. I don't know what deliverance you need, but I know the one who can give it in 2023, and it's God. Satan steals our joy, and then he robs us of our hope. And finally, Satan wants to destroy my life. My friend, know this and never forget it. The world system has been messed up by Satan because man chose to listen to him originally. What does the devil want to do? He wants to devour us. You know what that word devour literally means? And let me just say this. Does that ever go well for anybody? Does a devouring ever go well for anyone? Look at what devour literally means in the Greek. The Bible's, the New Testament language. It says he wants to steal, slaughter, destroy, and devour. You know, being devoured doesn't go well for anybody. I'm one of those guys who loves to watch messed up shows like I was Prey. People are like, "Yeah, I survived a mountain lion and gouged out my eyes and took both my hands, but I'm here." You know, I just love those shows. And like one of the shows, I'm literally watching this show. And I see these three guys, you know, they bounce back and forth between these stories. And this guy has been attacked by a grizzly bear. And I can't get past the opening conversation because he's got a really bad hairline. Like all of his hair is, he just has like this little bit of hair right here. I'm like, oh Lord, am I headed that direction? You know, I'm just like, and so he starts to tell his story. And then all of a sudden, he gets toward the end of the story, and he's like, and the grizzly bear was ripping at my back, and he tore my entire scalp off. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, dude. You know, they put part of his backside on his head, and it was just, yeah. Thank God he's alive, right? And then I thought to myself, this is violent. I mean, these animals are not kind. You know, anybody that teaches you, animals are our friends. They're our buddies. Yeah, good luck with that one. Satan is not your friend. I've watched marriages devoured. I've watched young people devoured. I've watched middle-aged people get devoured. I've watched old people get devoured. And you know what's sad? And this is something that we can't share enough. It takes a lifetime to build a great life. And it takes one bad decision to destroy it. One decision. One of my favorite Instagram accounts I got from another pastor is called Nature is Metal. And man, it's another one of those like, really, you're going to go look this up and be like, well, pastor really likes mean animals and stuff. But it's just really crazy. And you know, when I think about it, I watch these videos. Again, it's animal attacks. And that's Satan. He's after our kids. You know, and we tell our kids, nature loves you. Nature's your friend. Run to nature. Yeah, go ahead. And call me when you're greeted by a billion mosquitoes and black rhino. And nature's harsh. It's brutal. It's nasty. And that's why God said to the human beings, you must subdue the earth, have dominion over it, and be careful. Now, that was before animals had been affected by the fall. Satan is vile. And I want you to have that image in your mind. He wants you dead. You know what happens so often is we go, well, you know, I can manage. I'm good on my own. You know, you ever seen that in the Nature is Metal? It's like the gazelle's like, oh, look, there's a watering hole. Nobody's there. I'm going to go, I wonder why no one's there. I get all this watering hole to myself because the gazelle isn't smart. And he goes up to the watering hole and he's drinking. All of a sudden, 15-foot black crocodile, and it's over for him, right? A lot of us do the same thing. We become arrogant Christians. We claim we don't need anyone else. We claim we're mature. And we're one bad decision from immaturity. And when you think about it, you think about that image of the gazelle going to the watering hole. A lot of us go, yeah, I don't need church. I don't need to fellowship with other Christians. I need that watering hole over there. I'm going to go over there. I need that lake. I need that mountain. I need to go do this. And all of a sudden, we're alone, and the enemy comes at us. He destroys us. Now, that is the reality of Satan. Did I make my point clear? Because that's what Jesus was talking about. But I don't want to leave you with that. Once we understand our enemy, we can be prepared for the best year ever. But we have to do a few things. We'll go back to John 10. First, we got to prepare for sneak attacks before they come. In this very powerful passage, Jesus talks about Satan, and he starts out explaining the sneak attacks of the enemy. Look at this. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. Listen, guys, God doesn't sneak in. Jesus doesn't sneak in. Jesus knocks at the door to have fellowship with us. But the thief looks for a vulnerable place to get in. And when it comes to fellowship, Jesus comes through the front door. He doesn't sneak in through a window. That's the enemy. The enemy is going to sneak in. Be aware of sneak attacks. For you who are Christians, he's going to keep you asking questions like, yeah, I don't really believe in Jesus as God, do I? I don't really believe in a literal devil, do I? A literal hell? Maybe all this Christianity stuff is good, but it's kind of a crutch. And he gets in there and he twists. Why? Well, the reality is this. Satan sneaks into a few areas. First, my thought life. 2 Corinthians 10 says, every thought needs to be taken captive and surrendered to God. You know, it doesn't take much to get into our thoughts, does it? You know, people ask questions, oh, Pastor Rick, do you love your wife? I love my wife. I would die for my wife. Do you love your kids? I love my kids. I would die for my kids. I love, you know, this church, I'd die for this church. Something goes wrong. They say something hurts your feelings. I'm out of here. Done with this. You know, I want somebody to tell me I'm actually better than I am. That's what the flesh does. So he sneaks into our thought life. He begins corrupting our thought life. We let him corrupt. You know, some of you, when you see the second one, are going to go, oh, wow, he really does care about single people. Our dating life, my dating life. People go, I thought you only cared about, you know, the married people and the families. No, I care about you. God cares about you. And listen, you need to understand, Satan wants to get in there. He's going to start lying to you. You're going to start going, you know, God takes too long for all this marriage stuff. I'm not going to trust God anymore. I'm going to trust Match.com. Yeah, you know. And Satan's going to say, don't pay attention to the profile. Everybody's gone to prison. Everybody has a felony. It's not a big deal. And we're just going to go, okay, well, that's great. And then you can have sex with whoever you want, whenever you want. Man, you don't need to be married. This is the life. Listen, I promise you, after 37 years as a pastor, I have talked to thousands, tens of thousands of people. I have never had one person tell me, I am so thankful. I had sex with as many people as I could and all kinds of broken relationships and broken hearts. And never, not one. My friends, every single person who is honest, who comes to know Christ goes, I regret that. Satan sneaks into our dating life. Don't let him do that. You know where else? Our work life. My work life is where he has his sneak attacks. Satan's going to creep in, convince you that working isn't really that important. Because, you know, after all, I mean, it's not a great job. And, I mean, they want me to work 40 hours. I mean, seriously? I can't tell you the number of people that come to me, Pastor, would you pray? I need a job. Pray for me. We've even helped many people get jobs, and then 3 months later, how's the job? It's terrible. I hate it. Working all the time. My boss is not nice. And like, man, you have a job. You know what else he sneaks into? My church life. Hebrews 10 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And yet he comes in and says, you don't need that. Yeah, show up on occasion, watch online. Guys, prepare for sneak attacks. Second, remember this, Jesus is with me in the battle, and he's already won the war. I want you to embrace this reality. Look at this amazing story again from Luke's perspective, since we've been kind of jumping around. Look at this in Luke chapter 22. Peter, my dear friend, listen to what I am about to tell you. Satan has obtained permission to come and sift you all like wheat, and look at this, guys, test your faith. But I have prayed for you. This is Jesus, Peter, that you would stay faithful to me no matter what comes. Remember this, after you've turned back to me and have been restored, make it your life mission. Circle that life mission. If you've printed that outline, circle it. To strengthen the faith of your brothers. I love that. Jesus has prayed for us, and he says, make it your life mission to strengthen one another. Where do we do that? In church. That's why it's so critical. I don't think it's ever been more important. The church is now filled with Christians. Yeah, I don't need to go. I don't need to be involved. They make excuses. It's never been more important. Look at John 10, 2 through 5. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. People say this. I know what Jesus wants. Jesus, take the wheel. That is really not good theology. Great country song, right? But you let go of the steering wheel while you're driving, you're going to meet Jesus very quickly. Let me tell you a secret. Jesus doesn't want to take the wheel. He wants you to drive, but he wants you to listen. I remember when I was teaching my daughters to drive, and, you know, Brittany, more compliant. She did what I said, you know, slow down, you know. Brooklyn, not so quickly. You know, I remember we were driving down the street. She's driving a stick shift, the only one in the family that learned on a stick shift because we had a Jeep. And we're driving down the street, and we're coming toward a stoplight. And I'm like, okay, slow down. Yeah, slow down. Yeah. Slow down! And you come to a screeching stop, and you're like, honey, you have to slow down sooner. You can't do that. And unfortunately, she still drives like that from what I've heard. But the truth is this. She began to recognize my voice. At that moment, she didn't understand the inner voice that was coming out. But when I said slow down the next time, she did. Jesus wants us to hear his voice. God is only going to be in control of your life as much as you invite him to be. Now, for the rest of you, who God doesn't live within you because of the Holy Spirit and you've never trusted in Jesus, listen to John 10. So he explained to them, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. Guys, you are saved by faith alone and Christ alone. And then you are free. See, we think, no, I don't want to be a Christian. It's a prison. It locks me in. No, religion does that. Christianity is freedom. They come and go with freedom. Listen, Jesus can rebuild any life this year. 2023 can be the year of transformation for you. To the Christians who have messed up their life. To those who have decided they're going to be cheesters and only come on Christmas and Easter. God wants to rebuild your fellowship. For those who are not living for his kingdom and his purposes, he wants to rebuild your focus. Listen, we're going to rebuild a school by the power and purposes of God. And it's going to take every single one of us. Yes, financially. We still have to get there in the next 30 days. $12 million. $20 million to do everything that needs to be done. And don't worry, we're going to do what we have to do, our bank and other private lending, but it would be so beautiful if every one of us could get us there. But it's more than that. Part of the New Year resolution for all of us in this church is to create a center of hope there, not just for a Christian school, but to become everything it needs to be so that we can minister to this generation. Even if you're committed to the public school system, and we're thankful, and you're not planning on putting your kids there, you know the value of Christ-centered education. Listen, understand this. The enemy prepares sneak attacks, but Jesus obviously has won the battle. He's won the war. And finally, end with this, trust in Jesus for salvation and the best year ever. Trust him. Look at John 10, 28. One of my favorite passages and one of my favorite verses. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. Look at that amazing reality of eternal security. He doesn't say, I give them eternal life and they need to hold on to it. He says, I have given them eternal life. He doesn't say, I'm giving them hope. Maybe they'll make it. He says, I've given them the promise. He says, I've given them the eternal life as a gift. This is, in the Greek, what we call an aorist tense word, and it is eternal security. And he tells us, no one will perish and no one will snatch you from the hands of God. You don't take hold of God the moment you believe in Jesus. He takes hold of you, and you are his forever. And I want to leave you with an incredible promise, and then I want to pray and ask you, if you've never put your trust in Jesus, if you've never come to the place where you've surrendered who you are and what you thought, and believe that Jesus died on a cross and rose again, then trust in him. Because this is what's in store for all of us this year and beyond who are God's children. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that he has revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow! My friends, this is a new beginning. And for you, it could be the new beginning of the rest of not only this life, but the life to come. Can I have you bow your heads and close your eyes? Wherever you're at, bow with your family, even if you're alone. And maybe for you, today is the day of salvation. This New Year's is going to be the best year ever because you're going to be God's child forever. You can just say this in your mind, simple prayer. And say, God, I admit to you I'm a sinner. And I realize now there's nothing I can do to save myself. I can't be good enough. I can't be religious enough. I can't give up enough bad deeds and do enough good. That all of that falls miserably short. But right now, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me and rose again. And I put my trust in him alone to save me. Thank you, God. Friend, welcome to the family of God. Wherever you're at in the world, would you do me a favor? If you made that decision, would you text the word believe to 720-895-9000? We'll get you a new Bible, my last book, Grace Happens, a daily devotional. And we want to welcome you to the family of God. Father, thank you for the free gift of salvation that costs us nothing and costs you everything. God, thank you that we can have the best year ever if we will understand the enemy is real, but you have overcome the enemy. We praise you, Lord. I pray for everyone listening that this would be the beginning of the greatest year ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship wherever you're at. Sing with us.